Welcome to It's a Single Mom Thing, the show for single moms by single moms. This is Sherry, your host, and I am happy you are here today. Remember, it's a single mom thing and not the single thing that stops you. Whether you're a single parent who earns much but feels you are less, or you are a single parent that makes very little but has much to give, life, in my opinion, is a matter of perspective. It is what you focus on that counts. You see, I have found a life that is out of focus, much like photography, can get a little blurry, making it hard to see the details. It loses its sharpness, its edge, its depth of field, and even its main subject. Now, said differently, if you are nearsighted and have forgotten to wear your glasses while driving, you so get what I am putting down. Everything is out of focus, right? So even things that are right in front of you, you know, can quickly go left when, let's say, you miss your right turn, or even the bumper of the car in front of you that just brake checked you. When things are out of focus, it can lead to feelings of anger, anxiety, fear, frustration, yes, some road rage, white knuckle moments, and even despair. It can be so hard when you're out of focus to know where you're going, and even difficult to follow that yellow line in the middle of the road. As a Christian single parent, I find that it is particularly easy to be out of focus, so to speak, when I'm focused on things like the little or less instead of the much, losing sight of my provision. Welcome to another episode of It's a Single Mom Thing. I think when you become a single parent, it seems like everything gets magnified, or like I like to say, hyper-focused. Like when there's a crisis, for example, with your finances, your health, your kids, or even a relationship, just to name a few, it seems that all the objects in the mirror become bigger. Why is that, do you think? Is it possibly because they're right in front of you, or even they are all that you can focus on? When you are so focused on that one thing and not the main thing, it is easy to obsess and stress over them, leading you to lose sight of, let's say, friends, family, your children, the truth, and even the possible solution. Maybe you're there right now. Do you find yourself there right now so focused on that one thing that everything else around you has become blurry as it has moved into the background and out of focus? I have been there more than once on many occasions, especially when I found myself in between jobs with no savings account, no backup plan, and no other provider. Total white knuckle moment. I'm sure you have your occasion too, and it didn't feel like a party worth celebrating, but it quickly turned into your own private pity party. I had many of those. I called them my Zarephath moment. I was out of focus, losing sight of my provision, focused on the little and not the much. But very little. So let me explain Zarephath. Zarephath is not a person. It is a place, and a place pointed out in the Bible because I think God knew we would all, that we were going to visit it metaphorically and maybe even be frequent flyers if we ever lost sight of our provision. More on what that is in a bit, so stay tuned. Now, if you have a Bible, flip to 1 Kings 17:8. There you will find me and join me in Zarephath. So in Zarephath, there we find a widow and her son starving, living in a region that has been in a drought for 3 years. That was foretold by God through a prophet named Elijah. We also find a nation of Jews, remember those are God's chosen people, who turn from God, turning their faith over to a false god through Baal worship under the kingship of King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. And lastly, we also find the highlighted ramifications to this one widow in particular, as she's down to her last ration of olive oil and flour. You see, that day she planned was her last for both her son and herself. How many of you listening often feel you are down to your last ration of olive oil and flour? She, like most of you listening, she was in need, and as a single parent, overlooked. That is until God looked upon her and her greatest need. He never lost sight of her, although she never saw him. As a single parent, even if you have a good support system, how many of you listening can affirm with truth that when a crisis or a challenge arises, that it triggers a deep-seated feeling of being overlooked, being needy? So therefore, you feel like you have to do whatever it takes in your own strength to solve this challenge on your own. Do you feel right now that this is your Zarephath moment? A moment that you keep to yourself because you think nobody else will understand your single situation, even in the church. I think Jesus is the only person who ever knew and knows what each and every human struggle feels like. As humans, we are limited, and I do believe at times this is why the church is not the first place a single parent goes to for support. That and if there is some past church hurt. Now let me ask you, do you feel like you have but very little and are down to your last bit of olive oil and flour, not sure where your next meal may come from? Did you just get served notice that you're going to be evicted from your home or even lose a job? Unsure of where your next provision is coming from? The good news is, if this story is highlighted in the Bible, God has some good news and support for you right now. Now, it may seem like a gift in some strange wrapping paper at times, as the widow did too. You see, support is exactly what God would bring this widow, who lost all that she had and had not known faith. She was out of focus, much like most of the society around her, much like our world today. God can take a little and make a lot. So listen, y'all, you have heard many of times God's ways are not our ways, only like a bazillion times, right? So how crazy is it that the support that God was sending the widow was by the way of a prophet that God had lived way out in the desert, in a ravine, with no food and only a brook to drink from? Now let me clarify, no food that he brought with him or grew either. His food came from ravens instructed by God that were going to feed him both morning and night. No Uber Eats, no DoorDash, no choice in what he was going to eat. Now, don't lose sight of this, y'all, because this is the gift in some strange wrapping paper. So this prophet named Elijah, he learned a little something about having nothing before his encounter with the widow. He too had nothing, but found everything when he stayed focused on where his provisions came from. Now, I'm going to give you a warning because there is a play on words coming right now. You see, when he had provision, he received provisions from God. Sorry, couldn't help myself here, but neither could Elijah. He had to live in complete obedience and surrender to God to provide all of his needs. With that, his faith grew, his obedience to God grew, and so did his mission. So check this. Just like the day the brook dried up, leaving him with no water, did God send him on his way to Zarephath on a mission? Get this, to be fed by a widow. Yes, the very same widow that was planning her last supper. That widow. Now, God did kind of direct the widow ahead of time to supply him with food, which Elijah was also foretold. But there was one minor detail God kind of left out that was, well, the widow's son was going to die. So needless to say, Elijah was not confused about what plans God set forth him. Although God doesn't tell him everything, through his faith, he was assured that God knew everything. That was enough for him to focus on and the provision he needed to fulfill his mission. So to move this story along, Elijah rolls up to the widow who was gathering sticks to prepare her last meal. Elijah did as God commanded. But the widow, however, well, she did like most of us probably would do if we were in her situation. The widow, she focused on the immediate need of both of her and her son. All she saw were the objects in her mirror that appeared bigger than her faith. Oh yeah, she didn't have any, that's right. All she saw was the last ration of olive oil and flour she had, and surely did not see how that was going to feed three. And, well, she was not going to share that with a third-party stranger. Well, that's my take on what I'm guessing she was thinking. I don't know about you, but I know when I'm hangry, I am thinking only about myself. But as a prophet, however, and a man of God, Elijah assures her, just like the many times it is stated in the Bible, do not be afraid. In fact, he says, and I quote, "Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son." 1 Kings 17:13. Now that's a holy holdup for me. I know the first time I ever read that verse, I was like, no way did this brother just roll up on her and direct her to give to him first, not to her son and herself that was starving. But as I read further, I noticed he did exactly as God has commanded, no matter his opinion of the single situation he saw right in front of him. Quote, "For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord," that's all caps Lord, "sends rain upon the earth," end quote. 1 Kings 17:14. So this was God's plan, and it played out exactly how he planned it. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. By who? The Lord. Refocus. Oh, so what about that minor detail, you ask? Well, it happened. Soon thereafter, her son fell ill and did die. And like probably most of us would do, if I'm honest, she went all out of focus. She had that finger waving all up and down at Elijah saying, "What have you against me, O man of God?" Well, as God would have it, this gave God an opportunity for both Elijah and the widow to refocus their faith. Elijah grabbed the son, stretched himself over the son three times and cried out to the Lord, and I quote, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. So let's revisit that gift in strange wrapping paper. God may not give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. And I'm preaching to the choir here. If your life is out of focus or not focused on him, your greatest need is not a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on your table. Your greatest need is him. He is the daily bread. He is the food for the soul. He is the living water. He is your greatest need. All else will be added to you if you put the kingdom of heaven and him first place. Just like the widow, just like Elijah. You see, the widow's testimony points us to faith, though from the perspective of someone who learns to believe in God. First, she doubted her provisions, so she didn't share with Elijah. God proved her wrong. Then she doubted when her son became ill. And again, God proved her wrong. As an unbeliever, she learned to trust God through experience, but she first had to take a chance. She could have disregarded Elijah's prophecy, but she didn't. Then she bore witness to his faith and grew in her own in the process. Faith believes, faith prays, faith takes action, doubt does nothing. The widow, considering her position in life, the widow was a woman with a child living in a society with less opportunity provided for her. She had every reason to doubt. But if we have faith in God, we shouldn't, no matter the circumstances. Scripture tells us over and over again not to be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid, not because our circumstances aren't easy, but because God is so good. His goodness is so much bigger than the circumstances. God is always able. Now, some of you listening need to have an encounter with God, just like the widow. Or maybe you are a believer like Elijah, but God wants to grow that faith of yours. God also provided for Elijah, just like he did through the widow. This is a reminder that God sometimes places people in our lives to aid us through certain seasons, and sometimes we are destined to aid others. That's why I'm here. Now, I promise you, one day, the further you walk down this road, he just may place another single parent in your path that may need to get their life in focus just like you did. So, in conclusion, no matter which side of the story resonates with you more, you can be sure we all have our drought season and may experience it more than once. But we never go through it alone. He is with us, looking out for us. It is your choice, it is my choice, whether we live it out of focus or focused on Him. Have you lost sight of your provision or want to learn more about the one who provides? Call us at 855-822-PRAY. Not ready to quite step into a church yet, but looking for spiritual support from a group of like-minded mamas of faith? If you live in the Tampa Bay area, join us on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month for It's a Single Mom Thing class and support group. For more inspiration and information, visit shepherdsvillage.com/classes. Want to be inspired to take your faith higher? Join me on Easter Sunday for a special 100th episode podcast dedicated to the special you, hosted by my friends and students at Indian Rocks Christian School. Have a wonderful week, and remember, it's a single mom thing and not the single thing that stops you. Thanks for listening to It's a Single Mom Thing. I hope you enjoyed our time together. If you have more questions on how to have a relationship with Jesus or need prayer, visit us at www.shepherdsvillage.com/prayer. For more information and resources, check out our show notes.